Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor this hour. It's Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer.
This is my shocked face.
Oh, don't be shocked. I'll bring you down slow here. Pape Machinery has everything John Deere. They've got large ag, big ag. They're actually involved in material handling, Kenworth trucks. I mean, they have a lot of stores, about 110-plus stores in five states, and they're rapidly expanding, moving into the Northern California markets. You'll hear more about that later. But they have everything John Deere. Go by and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, between Oasis and Pine Grove, right off I-5. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. Yeah, there you go. All right.
Okay, I was holding out.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Yeah, when fun backfires.
Yeah.
Row. And it's funny because I was just sending Travis, our engineer, I was just sending him a little message on the Skype that I really love messing with Bill.
Yeah. And then there he got caught right
and then
there. Yeah.
I had this opportunity and it was too good to pass up.
Okay. Wow. All right, so what do you got for us, funny girl?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know. It's one of those topics that, yet again, like all of our topics, is not funny. We don't ever do funny topics.
No.
We just try to have some fun while we're doing not funny topics. Otherwise,
we do a lot of mocking, though, and I think that makes up for a lot of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity for that, and there is a tremendous... I just want to point out, tremendous video on YouTube, 20 minutes long. And if you search mass psychosis, it'll come up. It's a kind of a little white square with red writing that says the killing of the mind. And it talks about what happens when you get into, when society gets into one of those, just mass psychosis deals where everyone starts to believe things that are not true. And their example is the Salem witch trials and a few other unpleasant historical periods, which kind of goes with like the whole mask and the vaccine and all that. And that was part of what they alluded to in that video. But, you know, it occurs to me that that would also really cover this idea of how the magic of marijuana that somehow we have become completely delusional about. And if you... if you say any different, you are a heretic.
Oh, yeah. You're a heretic. Well, now that it's legal.
Then you're really a heretic.
Yeah,
because why it wouldn't be legal if it wasn't good for you.
Exactly.
Or you're a Republican. I get called a Republican a lot. I can't underestimate the political aspect of this. Like, that they've used this politically. They've made it them versus us. It's a very much so. Their language, you know, cannabis culture. It's all about anti-establishment, anti-police, anti-be-told what to do, anti-regulations, anti-law.
Well, the good news is that's not polling well or turning out good at the polls these days. So who knows? Maybe the tide is turning and people are starting to go, hey, wait a second.
But way back in the 70s, you know, like when Normal started this movement to try and legalize marijuana, they went to the library when the universities, and they got a copy of Tell Your Children, which is this 1920s film which a religious group put out, a bunch of parents in their religious group put out, and they wanted to help their kids understand about the perils of using marijuana.
Sure.
And it had been doctored up in the 30s because it was illegal to show drugs in a film in America at that point. And so they had an underground movie circuit, and so this sleazy producer doctored up this Tell Your Children's movie, and it turned into Reefer Madness. It had nothing to do with the government ever. But what Keith Straub did, from Normal, what he did was he, for $200, took a copy of this thing and started circulating it around universities and promoting this anti-government, the government's you know, the government came up with this, you know, ridiculous statement about, you know, marijuana makes you go crazy. And they undermined the government in 1976. I mean, that's what, that was their campaign. It was to, don't listen to them. They're all a bunch of scaremongering, hysterical people. I mean, and it, even in that LA Times article yesterday, they used the word reefer madness.
Reefer madness. God, I remember that.
I do remember that.
When I was in high
school. So, like, the secret of marketing, right? Two words or less, you know, memorable and believable. So it's probably one of the more brilliant marketing campaigns in the history of advertising was Reefer Madness, because it's two words, it's memorable, it has visuals with it, and the aspect of believability is that in the 1930s during the Depression, the United States government didn't have a lot of money to deal with the use of marijuana, which was on the rise, and so what they did, and cocaine, so what they did was they scared people. They just came up with a little scare campaign. And they did do that. They did do that.
Oh, to this day, I remember one scene in that movie where it showed a close-up of these young people's faces. They're holding their face in their hands and screaming, yeah. And their eyes are all wide, and they're crazy now because they smoked a joint.
I know.
It was hilarious, but
it is hilarious. But it did not. It had nothing to do with the United States government.
No,
it was all, and they used it as though it was. And I think there's a myth out there, like you were saying about myths about the witch trials. There's a myth out there that Reefer Madness is a government film. It never was. It never was. And it was complete strategy by the marijuana lobby to get their way. And
I guess I never thought. I've never done any research on it, but that's pretty okay. It's like evil smart.
So I hear Reefer Madness. I mean, that did more damage to us probably than anything else ever has. Well, it did. Because they just, if you open your mouth and say anything, of course, everyone who uses marijuana doesn't get early onset schizophrenia or, you know, do some violent act or become addicted or do anything else. But that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It just means it doesn't happen every single time.
Sure.
You know, and these people who say to me, oh, no, I like using CBD. It's good for me. Or, oh, I really believe in it. I go, have you read the science? Have you read the side effect profile? Have you tried, like, legitimate products? And are you being monitored? Like, you know,
well, since you've read all that on the CBD, I got to ask you. I have somebody I know that is giving it to their dog because their dog has seizures, and they think it's making the seizures better.
Well, there's no science. That's quackery. Sorry, this is quackery again.
I didn't want to assume.
Where is the science? The only science that we have is the clinical trials that were done by Epidiolex for two very rare forms of childhood epilepsy. That's it. No dogs. Dogs weren't part of the trials. And the efficacy was wasn't even very good for that trial itself. So that's all we've got. So to use it for anything else, you know, we don't have it. And plus we know what the side effect profiles are. So let's say you want to do it for sleep. You really want to go there? You want to cure your sleeping problem with a drug that possibly could have you committing suicide? Really?
Yeah. But you sleep good.
You know, it's like when tobacco, people say, oh, it relaxes me. I go, well, that's a physical impossibility because it activates your central nervous system. What it does do is it relieves you from the drug withdrawal that you're going through. Yeah, it's a relaxant because you're in drug withdrawal from nicotine, but it's impossible to say that tobacco is relaxant.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. I never thought about it like that, having never smoked.
It's the belief systems. I mean, I used to do smoking cessation, and people would say to me, oh, it helps me sleep, or it helps. I go, there's all kinds of better ways that, you know, tobacco has a 50% chance of really, you know, premature death. So let's look at your sleeping problem and your stress problem, and let's come up with a better solution.
Yeah, no kidding.
Something that you can kill yourself.
Well, I guess that's the thing, and again, you don't know if the people who were growing it wanted to speed things up and put spray adhesive on it. I will never get that out of my mind. I mean, there were these 55-gallon drums. I saw them. I didn't read about them in the story. I saw them with my own two eyes.
Sure.
And it had this really long name on it, and it's like, what the heck is that?
Yeah,
so we looked it up, spray adhesive. It took us forever to figure out why they would have 55-gallon drums of spray adhesive.
Well, maybe metals and everything else. Yeah, no.
And so you think about all the, and the, I mean, it's just, Just a nasty situation. And for the people who think I'm kidding, honest to God, go to our website at wethepeopleradio.us, look on the pot tab, and I've posted a whole bunch of pictures there, and most of them I took. It's grisly. If you think that your stuff in these stores is coming from some magical, you know, fairyland guarded by unicorns and, you know,
How about just simple regulation? We have this, I don't know if you've read The Poison Squad, but it's a phenomenal book about the food industry and what they used to do, like putting talcum and things in products that we finally got to a level where we had regulatory agencies and we had a consumer sort of an awareness that we had some protection in our products, right? There was sort of a level of protection for us. That's gone. It's gone. If you look at the marijuana and CBD and THC, there is no regulation here. So we have, there is nothing helping you as a consumer. We're back again in the 19th century before we had consumer protection. And yet we have this belief that our governments are protecting us, but they're not. So that's a really big problem, right? You know, I mean, Einstein said that belief was more powerful than thought, you know, so or knowledge. So people believe things, and it's very hard to turn them around to evidence and fact and science and truth. And it's once they get on this belief thing, it's, you know, and these industries know that. I mean, these people who are in advertising and consumer manipulation and cultural infiltration, they know all of this. And, you know, we always, Phil and I are very good close friends, and, you know, we'll often say, you know, they're sitting around a room and they're way ahead of us, and there's a whole bunch of them being paid a lot of money to figure this out. Like, this is not random. This is a consorted, calculated, manipulative campaign, and it's propaganda. And it's, you know, it, like in history, propaganda is really hard to fight.
Yeah, it really is, because it, right? They always use, I mean, propaganda is called that because it's kind of smart. You know, they use little bits of truth, and they morph it just a little bit, and then it becomes part of, well, you look at how many people are making the rules. I always kind of go back to that, because you look at who's making these laws and who's making these regulations in your county and city government, and these are not 20-year-olds. These are people who grew up, you know, watching Cheech and Chong movies and thought they were funny and have kind of a basic understanding that marijuana is sort of harmless, and it was something that, you know, kids did to act out, and now it's legal, so it's no big deal, and, well, it'll probably bring revenue into our community. And that's kind of the logic line that it takes.
Yeah, but you just look at that. I mean, it's such a, if you look at the cost of these hospitalizations I've been talking about,
yeah,
you know, neonatal, the percentage of women in neonatal is, I think, 4% for alcohol and 37% for marijuana.
Oh, no kidding.
A night in neonatal maternity care, what is that costing everybody? Like, people have to start looking at the hospital data and looking at the cost of all of this.
Give that stat again.
It's the neonatal maternity admissions. Like, people who've had a baby and have to stay in the hospital for neonatal care.
Okay.
The mother, it's, I think, 4% for alcohol and over 30 to 40% for marijuana.
And that's if they're, like, a regular marijuana user?
That's just the stats that I have for the hospital data that show.
Wow.
That, I mean, cocaine's way down there, too, and opioids. It's marijuana. They're there for marijuana. That's what they're there for.
No kidding.
You know? And these little babies, too. You think a kid who's got marijuana in their system before they're born doesn't go through withdrawal and have seizures when they come out? They do. And guess where they end up? In neonatal care. Again, mm-hmm. Very expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are the things that people talk about tax dollars. Look at the driving. Look what it costs. Like, you know, for marijuana fatalities, like pedestrians, cyclists, all these people that are being hurt or killed by marijuana-impaired drivers. You know, look at the loss of life, but look at the cost, too, right?
Well, you know, I think the additional tax revenue by legalization is gonna cover all that. I don't think it even comes close.
Joke. No,
it's an absolute joke. It hasn't done it. We've already got the numbers on all of that in Colorado and Vermont and all kinds of places. They've got all the data on that. It's nowhere near. But it's also a very callous society that would say, let's promote an addictive product so we can make some tax.
Yeah, let's make some money.
Tobacco. Yeah. I mean, it's the tobacco. It's yes, we still have tobacco, which is very sad. And 87% of people who smoke wish they didn't. It's not like there's a bunch of happy smokers out there. Those people don't want to be smoking. It's a highly addictive product, you know, and they've been sucked into it. And they were often sucked into it as a youth. And so, you know, especially the pregnant woman who's pregnant and smoking, like, what a horrible situation to be in.
We've got to take a really quick break, but when we come back, I'd like for you to tell people the very last part of your bio that I didn't get to is that you had co-authored Baby and Me Tobacco Free, which was a guide to help pregnant women quit tobacco before starting a family. Tell us a little bit about that when we come right back. Our guest is Pamela McCall, and you're listening to We the People. You can find all this information and a commercial-free archive later on today at wethepeopleradio.us.
Some say while you're a part of Crack-A-Bug's palace, do what the rest don't do. Don't face the fact that Crack-A-Bug's palace may have no other choice than to deport you.
Yeah. What indeed could you do? Well, you could stop smoking pot. That would be good.
Yeah, that might.
Lay off the CBD. We've got a lot of ideas for you.
Yeah.
So eat
more fruit.
There's always that. I knew somebody that was their answer to everything. Every problem their kids ever had, every problem that ever happened in the house, eat more fruit.
Eat more fruit.
Yeah, the same person who always used the word misconstrued instead of misconstrued, which came shooting out of my mouth the other day involuntarily in a very inappropriate time, and I couldn't stop laughing. Terrible when that happens. Oh. So easily led. It's a good thing I never got hooked on any of these things. I'm basically hooked on silliness, obviously. Thank God there's no cure. So what about this, the Baby and Me Tobacco Free?
Sure.
It doesn't give a time frame for that. Was that a long time ago or recently?
No, it was a while back, but I wrote a book about it for the director of the program, and it's still available. And it's a really compassionate sort of outlook, which is how I kind of approach all of these sort of topics. I've never told anybody to stop smoking or stop smoking marijuana in my life. It is not how I am. You know, you have to come at this from a sort of perspective that one needs to become educated, but also one needs to recognize one's belief systems. And all of these things, tobacco, marijuana, alcohol, human beings will not do something if there is no benefit. We're not wired to do that. So you need to figure out, why am I doing it? What are the benefits? What are my belief system? What do I believe are the benefits? And that's how you get into these conversations that can help people turn their lives around. And with Babies and Me Tobacco Free, it's really a compassionate look at a woman's life and saying, okay, why are you using, and then getting into their belief systems. Is it because you think it's going to relax you, it helps you sleep? I mean, you know, people have all kinds of reasons for using a product, and then you help them break through those beliefs to get to a healthier place and to substitute them with better things. And that's really the essence of smoking cessation, is that process. It's not scaring people to death and saying, you know, you've got a 50% chance of death, because we, as human beings who are sound mind, will automatically say, well, I'm going to beat the odds. I'll be one of the 50% who doesn't die. That's what we do. And so that's not a very effective strategy to scare them to death. You're much better off to get drilled down into, why are you using, if you're addicted to marijuana? What are you getting from it? And then try and substitute that belief with a better belief and a knowledge-based belief and come to a better decision for your life. So if someone was to say to me, I smoke because it helps with constipation, and I've heard that, I would absolutely find you a better way. Okay? If you said to me, I smoke dope because I just relax me, then I'd get into the drug conversation about it. It's an addictive substance. It's a drug, and it's withdrawal you're experiencing. You need to acknowledge drug addiction, and then we can talk to you about this, right? So that's kind of what Baby and Me is all about. And, you know, I just think it's a really, you know, this is a stigmatized population. I mean, people who are out there pregnant and smoking or drinking, right? You're not doing that out in front of anybody else.
Sure.
Right? So you're doing that in secrecy, which, again, is problematic. So that was what we were quite successful, very successful, actually. And, yeah, it's something I still really feel strongly about, helping people and not criticizing people's choices. It's counterproductive. It's much better off to come at them with a, you know, education piece. And I mean, I'm not a doctor, and I am a writer, and I certainly can do research, but I just took it upon myself to become educated. You know, and so I went to people like Dr. Phil Drum and Dr. Ken Finn and really intelligent people, and Dr. Philip Seaman, who was nominated for a Nobel Prize in, for discovering the dopamine surface of the brain. And I went to them and I asked them about things, and I wrote things and asked them to read it. And, you know, anybody can do this. I mean, anybody can become better educated. And I think some people stop and go, well, I don't know anything about science. But, you know, it's important. And I think as a parent and a grandparent, I know someone said to me the other day, because I have this brand new granddaughter, she's 1 month old, and someone said, well, what are you going to do if she smokes dope or smokes pot, right? And I went, well, she won't be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to start that right now.
Yeah, no.
What's the crossover between the CBD and the marijuana? Like, do they start with one and go to the other? Is it something that kind of interchangeable, or any stats on that?
No, but I love the CBD has THC in it, of course. I don't know. I don't know that. I fear for people my age doing it, you know, for all the wrong reasons. And I think THC I worry about because of heart and stroke and all of that that comes on, too. So the thing about marijuana that's so terrible is there's so many aspects of it that could damage you, you know, from psychotic break on high-potency stuff.
Sure.
You know, causing violence to yourself or others, including children, to driving, not knowing how impaired you are, you know, to all the birth defects I've talked about, the mental health issues, early onset schizophrenia. I mean, you know, I'll get personal for a minute here. I have two nephews who've been in psych wards for little under 2 years in Scotland because of marijuana. So, you know, this affects people in so many different ways, right? You can, and because I'm educated on this topic, I actually understand what they've gone through, and I wouldn't have known otherwise, right? So, you know, there's just so many aspects of it and so many risks that I just think everybody's really well served to stay away from it in every single form. And, you know, you can have a drink. You can have a 3-ounce, 5-ounce, 8-ounce glass of wine and not be drunk. You can't say the same thing about a marijuana product. You're going to be stoned. That's the whole purpose, right, or the main purpose. So, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't compare these two things. You know, you're a pregnant woman. You're then breastfeeding, you know, as you know, maybe you can pump and dump. You can drink a glass of wine. You can do your weight, do the chart, pump and dump, and you're okay to breastfeed your baby. You can't do that with marijuana. It hangs around for 3 weeks. So you can't feed your baby. You can no longer breastfeed. You know?
You would think that would be just, I don't know, but I would imagine that if somebody has been a marijuana user for, you know, all through maybe high school and college or whatever, and, you know, you're in your 20s and you're going to have a baby, changing that, you've already kind of adopted the, it's harmless, it's natural, it doesn't hurt anybody. Is that, I mean, I'm guessing that's what you hear?
Yes.
You deal with
and
these
the
people, is that what they
say? They're not screening properly, they're not asking people enough, they're not asking. You know, they're not asking, and they need to. They need to be screening these women. Look how many are ending up in neonatal and in prenatal. Look at that, you know, 21 million people study. I mean, that's atrocious. So people, doctors need to step it up and start, like, you know, screening people for it too, right? It's really important. And I think, I don't know, going forward, you know, I don't want to exasperate everybody here and make everybody feel, oh, you know, we're run over by a train and there's nothing we can do. I mean, you know, I think being prepared, educate yourself is incredibly important. You know, in narcotics history, the history of these drug trends has always been that when observational damage shows up and people start to see the damage caused, like the parent movement, they'll step in and do something. But with our case, we've got so much money pouring in from the industry that people aren't connecting the dots. They're not connecting these damaged children with the marijuana use, right? They're connecting it to cell phone use or something. And I'm going, no, it's the marijuana use, right? Like, when my nephews were institutionalized because of early onset schizophrenia through marijuana, the thought was cell phone use. And I went, it's marijuana use. Like, you have to sort of, the connecting of the dots is our problem. We can't, you know, like the driving too. Like, you've got to get the data and you've got to get the science and you've got to get the public understanding those two things go together, right? There's the damage you're seeing, the observational damage. All these children who are damaged are because of their marijuana use. And that's our problem, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And I'm fought every single, I mean, I can't even tell you the things I've had happen to me. When I was at the UNUDC, that's the United Nations Office of Drug Control. That's what.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that. I thought, yeah, I should look that up.
You have to have bodyguards.
I didn't know they had such a thing.
It is that serious. The attack on us, like, really vicious, really vile. And if you dare to stand up, and I was approached by the industry who threatened me. And, you know, that was pretty scary.
Yeah.
So, but I have to live the life I want to live, and I am an activist. I'm not being silly here. I'm not going to be reckless, but I do take bodyguards when I go places like to speak at a city hall or something. I do. I've needed them. But I'm not going to stop doing what I do. I wrote 2 books.
You know,
on the topic. But,
if what they're doing is so great and everybody likes it so much and it's so non-threatening, going after you is because, I mean, what's their...
I'm throwing rocks at their party.
Yeah. I know why they're going after you, but what's their... Do they have...
Well, here's what the industry threatened me. They invited me to meet somebody in a mall. I didn't know who it was. I thought it was a man who'd heard me on a radio show. This is a couple of years ago. And he said, hey, I love what you talked about. I want to meet you. And I went, okay, well, I'll meet you at a mall. I'll meet you at a coffee shop. And I'm not meeting you, you know, privately or anything. So we go to this mall. I sit down, and we have a little chat, and it sounded okay for a few minutes. And he goes, we're only going to let you get so big. And I said, are you threatening me? And he went, we're only going to let you get so big.
Oh.
That was the industry.
Wow.
So I phoned the RCMP, the police, and I told them, and they already knew what I'd gone through, and so I actually had the cell phone for the head of the detective narcotics squad. I had his cell phone. He was so worried about me at one point. So those things happen, and, you know, it's money, big money, big money, right?
Oh, you know when the big corporations are coming in and buying up all these little co-ops, you know there's big money in it.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know. I don't want everybody to be exasperated and think, oh, well, we've lost the war. It's there's got to be some pushback here, and there's a lot more of us. There's a lot more of us who don't use than those who do. And I think that someone said to me once, all we need to do is agitate the public. We don't need to radicalize the public. We don't need to revolutionize anybody here. We just need to get them to turn it around so that the 80% of people who don't use, when it comes to a ballot initiative or some other voting mechanism or something they can have some control of, they just simply say no. And if we just move the dial enough so they wake up enough to go, nah, let's not do that, that's all we need to do because we are such a massive majority, right? If there's 20% of them and there's 80% of us, we've got this. We just got to mobilize it a bit with more media, more outreach, more, and sadly, more damage. You know, all these activists you're talking to, Heidi Swan, Phil Drum, you know, Ed Wood, all these people out there have a dead family member.
I was going to say they all have a personal connection.
They've got personal connections. And that, they, you know, instead of walking the other way, you know, and people at Mom Strong, too, with children's suicide, these people have turned around and they're trying to help other people, which is incredibly commendable because it's got to be really hard to be reminded of the pain that they've had to endure for, you know, at the hand of a marijuana user.
Yeah, because Philip Drum says that all the time. I mean, here, you know, the guy's a, you know, an accomplished pharmacist and, you know, was busy and working and doing all those things, and he didn't intend to get involved in the whole marijuana thing and the driving, but... His sister was killed by a drug driver, and it's like, you know, your whole life like makes this big U-turns, like, okay, we're going to go back and now we're going to have a different focus.
And then sometimes, like I know myself, like you take some time off because it's very difficult work, and it's, I mean, I've testified all kinds of places, I've had all kinds of abuse, I've done really seriously incredible, really incredible things have happened. But because I've taken it on, it's impossible to just retire and not do it because you have a piece to play, you have a role here, there's something you know that you need to share with other people somehow. And I've tried quitting, and it's very hard to do because it keeps going on. And people say, oh, well, my children don't use, but the children in your children's classroom do. And your children's friends drive cars, and they are high, and they have passengers.
Or their parents are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't just step back and go, oh, it's not part of my world. Sorry, unless you're living in a nutshell. You know, you're part of this world. And this world, we are civilized, we connect, like with COVID, we help each other out, and we can harm each other if we're not taking, you know. So I call myself a preventionist, I'm also a prohibitionist, because there's two schools of thought here. There's a harm reductionist, and then there's people like myself who are preventionists. I think that we can say to people, don't do drugs. I think we can do that. I don't think we say, let's do them safely, let's do them together, don't do them alone. I think that's really, really poor public health messaging. I think we can say, let's not do drugs. Let's not legalize marijuana. Let's not have this product to deal with. Let's just not do that. Let's get really strong on taking down the black market. Let's really strong on all of the illicit trade. Let's do that, you know. Go bus kids. Go bus people who are selling to kids, you know. Go do that. Go get them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and at the very least, encourage your city and county officials not to be loading up your town with all these medical marijuana stores, which, you know, has the word medical in it. It makes it look like it's
there is no such thing as medical marijuana.
Right. It makes it look like it's some legit thing, which obviously
there's no such thing as medical marijuana. There's marijuana for medical purposes.
Right.
But there is no such thing as medical
and
marijuana.
But that's what they call it.
I know, but...
And it's just crazy.
Look at dispensaries. I mean, how there we go again. That's perverted. They're using a pharmaceutical term, dispensary, to dispense what? There's no dosing. How can they dose it? They have no clinical trials. So, and even the compassion, they've just manipulated us so well, right, with this language. I find it, really, really incredible.
It's super frustrating.
But there are things people can do, and you know, I think you just need to... be vigilant with your kids, and it's a no-go. It's an absolute zero marijuana use, and these new vape pens you can test with drug kits. You can test if there's cannabis in a pen in 30 seconds. So I know that's something you might talk about in their time, but there's all kinds of things you can do, and talk to their parents. But just don't underestimate the risk factors that come with both of these substances, because, you know, it's, and we've had this science for at least the 70s. We've had science like this. Anybody who says we don't have science, there's like 37,000 studies on PubMed for marijuana. 37,000 studies? We have this. We have a mountain of evidence.
Yeah, not exactly a secret. You also gave us, and we've attached it on our page for today, 1,785 possible research results for marijuana in pregnancy. So just in case anybody thinks that, you know, this hasn't really been studied very much, that was as of October 27th, 2021.
But most importantly is the Surgeon General. When the Surgeon General of the United States of America stands up and says, do not use marijuana in pregnancy, that is as solid as it comes. That is completely solid. They cannot say things that aren't incredibly researched and evidence-based. And that's all people really need to rely on in my world is the Surgeon General. And when that's what happened with tobacco. When the Surgeon General stood up and said, this is causing men to have heart attacks, everybody believed him. But for some reason, when the Surgeon General says marijuana and birth and pregnancy don't go together, it just sort of went away. It just doesn't, the rates are going up. More people are using in pregnancy.
That's just crazy.
They even have lactation cookies to help people have their milk come in.
Okay, that freaks me out.
Sick and twisted.
Yeah. On that sick and twisted note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. And one of our chat forum users has sent us a song, and I just want you to know we finally got that put together. So here you go. Little take on a little take on a classic. How's that? So you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
The devil went to Jamaica. He was looking to sell some weed. He was doing fine. They were standing in line. It was excellent weed indeed. When he came across this young man who was likewise peddling pot, and the devil slid down the beach to the kid and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you kind of figured I'm a reefer head, of course. And after all this time, I guess that I'm a connoisseur of sorts. Now, your stuff smells okay, but this could tranquilize a horse. I'll bet a million in cash against your stash, because I think mine's better than yours." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and you ain't smoked nothing yet. One hit of this grass will kick your ass. You got yourself a bed. Johnny, roll a ball of hash and make sure it's the bomb, because the devil's got the kind of stuff they smoked in Vietnam. You'll get a million smackaroos in cash if you can cope, but if you can't, the devil will get your dope."
Up in smoke, that's where my money goes. In my lungs, and sometimes up my nose. When troubled times begin to bother me, I take a toke and all my cares go up in smoke.
It's actually probably more true than most people would like to admit.
That was vintage Cheech and Chong right there.
Vintage Cheech and Chong.
Vintage, yeah.
You can't get away with a show on this topic without a little Cheech and Chong, because honestly, I think that's where most of our... I don't know. I guess I'm older people. Only 3 years younger than you are, Pamela. Bill's older than you are, so here we are in the senior coalition.
Wow.
Outed you right there. Boom.
But that was back in the day when it was like THC balanced with CBD in a plant.
And yeah, and it was like 2% THC apparently, and now it's like...
anywhere 99%. Yeah, it depends on what they're doing.
The whole edible thing, that seems really... Just insidious to me.
Yes.
Because you can't smell it. I mean, if somebody, like we were talking about before, you know, maybe your kids don't smoke pot or vape or do any of these things. Maybe they don't even like it. They have no idea if they're getting in a vehicle with somebody who's just eaten some insanely potent food.
Yeah.
Food thing.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Some of the oils and stuff are... 90% or something? I mean, that just blows my mind.
One of the things Phil Drum taught us really early on when we were talking about the drugged driving, and they were saying how they didn't have enough tests for it and all that. He had given us a few clues. One of them was they can't converge their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sobriety field test where they you know, you move your finger closer and closer and closer until your eyes are crossed. They can't cross their eyes.
Right.
And that's that'd be an easy test for parents.
Yeah. Well, it's, I was just, the one thing I wanted to mention was Prop 65, you know, THC is on their list, you know, of toxic substances, and they're supposed to have warnings in all the stores about pregnancy. So, you know, it's legislated in California law.
Do they do that?
No, of course not.
But I think Prop 65 wouldn't let me get something from Franklin Planner, because it was made out of something that was on their banned substances list.
Yeah. Oh, we have to have Prop 65 signs all around our store, because pretty much as soon as you push the handle on the door, you walk into a toxic area. Everything is affected by Prop 65.
Because it's got oil and gas.
If it's got
and
any
all those
kind
things.
Of petroleum substance, yeah. Or, you know, I mean, yeah. they have to put that warning on. On everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not on any of this?
But they don't post it in the pot shops?
No.
Oh.
No, they sure should, though.
Oh, yeah.
But,
absolutely.
I mean, their slogan is your right to know, right? Your right to know. That's the slogan of Prop 65, is your right to know. And I think that might have been the theme of today's show, is that, you know, your right to know. People have a right to know this. You don't know about CBD. That's, like, we have a right to know, right?
Yeah.
And I think these gummy bears that you were just speaking about, the problem with those is that it's the delay in knowing how much you've taken and taking more because you don't feel any effect.
Oh.
And so then you overdo yourself, right? And then you're like a gong show.
And then you're driving down the street and surprise.
Right. So that's the really big issue there. But, you know, this Halloween, there were, I think, four attorney generals put out messages saying, you know, be careful out there with these gummy bears and be careful about THC and candy products. Rice Krispie Squares, I think, were targeted as one of the products they sort of doctored up. Again, the perversion thing, right? They go after gummy bears and Rice Krispie Squares and just instead of coming up with their own thing.
They're screwing up perfectly good foods.
But, you know, I did a Google search to find out what news outlets were actually covering that story and the damage. And yes, there were some children definitely hurt. There were some people hospitalized, some little kids and stuff. But the only story that was picked up that I could find was in Ireland of a news outlet actually warning about this, other than the Surgeon General. And every other story in America was the pot industry saying, it's a hoax, it's reefer madness, they've tried this before, they always come up with this Halloween story that, oh, people contaminate trick-or-treat. No one's ever contaminated trick-or-treat. No one's ever done this. That was the lead story across America that the media picked up on. And so what I did was I went and found all the car accidents over Halloween night, and there were cyclists killed, there were pedestrians killed, there were drivers killed, all marijuana-related. There were these children hospitalized. I think they were in Virginia. There were seven kids in Vietnam. I was doing this whole web search, right? And I post them all through my Twitter feed to the pot industry going, you guys are just outright lying.
Yeah.
That no one's ever, are you kidding? No one's ever had a tampered Halloween treat? That's just not true.
Well, that's stupid. They've been doing that since we were little kids.
But that was their story. That was what, and they put money behind it because it was, if you Google it, Halloween treats, you'll see the pot lobby. There they are. Denying it, right across the board. You know, I just went unbelievable how these guys.
See, I guess I don't get that. Why would, I mean, I assume these products are fairly expensive, and they would put that in a trick or treat bag and give it to kids because it's.
Well, they used to put razor blades in apples when we were kids.
No, what they do is they sell it to underage kids. I saw the ads. One of the governor generals or attorney general was asking for it, and I sent her some stuff. That no, they said, do you want discreet trick or treat stuff? They were selling to kids online. They were selling trick or treat stuff that looked like Halloween stuff, but it wasn't. It had marijuana in it. So they were selling it. And what they were saying was, she said, can you find me any of these? And I went, sure. So I went and looked for them, and sure enough, there they were. Do you want, you know, discreet product, meaning this is not a Rice Krispie Square, people. This is something else, right?
So wow.
They definitely did it. It's not like they go house to house and little trick-or-treaters go to the door and nasty person puts in a gummy treat, which actually did happen here, and two people were arrested, and they got jail time for all that. But it does happen, but that's not really the worry. It's more that these candies are out there and kids are on the street and someone's selling them some stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dealers and people. So.
Yeah, and as a parent, how do you... As a parent, you don't know that.
No. And one little girl took some to school. She got some from a babysitter or somebody and took it to school, and a whole bunch of kids got sick. So, you know, it just circulates because kids are all into candy, right, at this time of the year and Halloween.
Right.
So it just sort of circulates amongst their stuff.
And then, I mean, most people don't even know what to look for on something like that. I mean, you take a quick look at it, it's candy, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, it's
you have you've given us quite a few links and different things to go with today. But you know, if you have any really good, you know, sources that you find really helpful and things that would give people information, especially to have conversations with maybe their, you know, parents of your grandkids or people that are, not realizing how dangerous this is because it's really not being publicized.
Right.
I'd be happy to post that on today's page. You
sure.
You gave us a little list. when the product should not be used. Cannabis should not be used if you're under the age of 25, are allergic to any cannabinoid or smoke, have serious liver, kidney, heart, or lung disease, have a personal or family history of serious mental disorders, such as schizophrenia, psychosis, depression, or bipolar disorder, are pregnant or are planning to get pregnant, or are breastfeeding, if you are a man who wishes to start a family, and if you have a history of
that is the statement right there. You just said it.
And that's a huge one. And if you have a history of alcohol or drug abuse or substance dependence, and that list is posted right on there, and that's so at the end
that's
of
the government
day,
of Canada. Okay, that's the government of Canada saying.
Oh, no kidding.
Men who want to, their language, read it again. Men who want to have children should not use marijuana.
Men who wish to start a family. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the government of Canada. That's
I guess we should add the word ever.
Canada.
Like, because it isn't next week, it's ever.
Why isn't that on billboards?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Right?
Yeah, that's...
Isn't that stunning?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is, because I don't think people really know that. And they're told, constantly told, that this is all, you know, that the there's no risk. This is silly. There's stores right downtown that sell it. How could it be that dangerous? You have stores.
Well, I testified at the House of Commons on marijuana legalization in Canada, and I led with that. I asked the lawyer for Health Canada sitting beside the head of the task force, how do you legalize a drug that you yourself say men should not use if they want to start a family? And they sealed the meeting for eternity.
Really?
Wow.
I spent 6 hours putting testimony in from all over the world, all these scientists and everything else. They sealed the meeting. They sealed the meeting forever.
So no one will ever know about
no
it?
No one ever will see what I said. Ever.
Oh,
well, that
man.
Should tell
that's
you everything.
That's how corrupt things are.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, right? Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah, and as I was leaving, the task force head came over to me, and she said, I sealed the meeting. You won't see it for 50 years. And I said, and then I phoned my MP, and I said, and she went, no, they've actually sealed it forever.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
But that's okay. There's another scientist at Health Canada, a whistleblower, who came to me and said, you know, he wrote a report saying no one should touch this stuff back in the 90s, and he was fired and put under a gag order. So there you go. I mean,
that's when you know you're hitting a nerve, that's for sure. Yeah. Unbelievable.
So there are people who do not want people to know the truth, for no doubt about it.
Yeah, about so many things. But I'll tell you what, the CBD is a biggie. And I really hope you'll email me some other people to have on about this, because every single person we talk to has a slightly different vantage point and a slightly different basket of information. So we really appreciate you sharing with us today and getting us all smartened up, because I'll tell you what, if we don't, we're going to lose generations of people in all of our countries.
And a lot more liver disease.
Can you imagine? I don't know who's going to run the world later, but we're going to all have to keep working forever, I suppose, because we're destroying our youth. So, thank you so much, Pamela McCall. And I hope people go on and check out your books and all those good things. We will have you on again, and you've been listening to...
Well, I'm writing another book, which the pod industry will not like.
Oh, good. We can't wait to have you come on and talk about it. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. See you next week.